win. If we're behind, then never mind. We'll fight and fight and win, for we're from Tigerland. We never weaken till the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, we're strong and we're bold, for we're from Tiger, yellow and black. We're from Tigerland.
Yes, welcome back to Sports Overnight here on RSN 927. Scott Cooney with you, and great to have you with us. It's certainly Tiger time, absolute pandemonium, and to dissect the AFL Grand Final for 2017 between the Crows and the Tigers, the one and only dashing Darren Parker. And as we say, good evening to you, Dash. The Tigers have ended that 37-year drought in stunning fashion at the G today.
Yeah, they have, and good morning to you and the listeners as well. And yeah, extraordinary, the manner with which they did it in taking control in that second quarter, and 11-point lead to Adelaide at quarter time. And a lot of people were pointing to the fact that Adelaide had been the number one second quarter team this season, and it had been statistically Richmond's poorest quarter. But in that second term, Richmond kicked 4-0 to turn the game completely around. And even though the margin was only 9 points at halftime, it was really hard to see them getting beaten, because every single one of their defenders was beating their direct opponent. And Adelaide's most influential players, Jacobs, Sloan and Laird, had been tied up in the last sort of 15 minutes. So the Tigers had nullified those three and were controlling the defensive end of the ground, and it was getting played on their terms. The belief was if it was an open game, Adelaide would win. If it was a closed, contested game, Richmond would win. And it was clearly getting played on Richmond's terms, and wasn't surprised they went on to win in sort of commanding fashion. But yeah, 37 years in the making for them, going back to 1980. And amazingly, it's only the fifth final of any description that they've won since that premiership. So to salute and win a flag in this manner is obviously a great reward for their enormous supporter base.
Dash, I spoke to Quinny, Nick Quinn from the Herald Sun, thanks to Tab yesterday. He'll be on cloud nine at the moment, but they were $1.75, I think, at tab.com.au when I spoke to him, the Crows, and they did firm, but just had that feeling about it, didn't it, that the Tigers were right in this and maybe even should have been slight favourites.
Yeah, there was destiny's probably not the right word, because you don't just win because you're supposed to, but there was certainly that feeling of momentum. And you looked at, if you sort of inspected it closely, there were a lot of indicators pointing to Richmond. Adelaide's form, a lot of people said Adelaide were undefeated at the MCG, but they were 50 points behind Collingwood and came back and drew. They had a scratchy win over Carlton, and they were miles behind Hawthorn and came back and won when Hawthorn were really struggling. So their form hadn't been convincing. And you just felt that in a final like that, the team that could lock the game down would be better equipped than the team that played the open run and gun. So, I thought most of the week that Richmond were very likely to win the game. Obviously, you had to respect what Adelaide could bring to the table, but it just seemed made for Richmond in the way they play the game. And it's quite remarkable, I guess, for the second year in a row that a team has won a premiership without what you would call a conventional forward setup. They certainly don't play a textbook way, but it might lead teams to reevaluate the way they set things up and what they go after in the trade period, because the belief has always been you needed, say, two key tools and a stockpile of big men, but Richmond won it with the Mosquito fleet this year. So, that's obviously very much a changing trend. They had Jack Rewalt at the forward line and probably no one else over 6 foot in that front half of the ground. They kicked over 100 points in their last two finals and in six of their last seven games. So they found a way to score, whereas Adelaide, who had the land of the Giants at the other end, couldn't get near it. So, yeah, we might see the game often moves in trends historically, where you have styles of play that sort of stick around for 4 or 5 years, and maybe what the Bulldogs and Richmond have done in the last 2 years will have sides changing the way they think.
Dash, is a good segue. We're chatting to Dash and Darren Parkin here on Sports Overnight on RSN 927. The Tigers are breaking that premiership drought in an amazing way, 16-1208 to 8-1260 at the G, and it is certainly Tiger time here in Melbourne and around the world at the moment. But just on the Crows, yeah, they're a little bit top-heavy. Certainly today they had Josh Jenkins, Taylor Walker, Andy Otten and the like, and obviously the Tigers did quell the small forwards in Charlie Cameron and Eddie Betts to a large degree as well. But one I really want to look at there is Taylor Walker. He hasn't exactly set the world on fire all year, and gee whiz, they would have wanted a bit more out of him today.
Yeah, I mean, he probably wasn't their least influential forward. That probably went to Jenkins or Andy Otten. But in terms of expectation, yeah, there's a lot on him. Eddie Betts kicked a goal in the first 5 minutes, but then was pretty much unsighted after that. Charlie Cameron hurt an ankle in the first 5 minutes, kept playing, but was certainly restricted. I don't know whether it was the ankle or the fact that he was beaten or a combination of both, but his impact was limited from that point on. And yeah, the whole forward setup for Adelaide was different. And obviously the saying horses for courses, maybe Adelaide went in too tall for their opposition. And Richmond's run was always going to be an issue, obviously, if you've got small running players versus the height. And if your tall players aren't marking the ball, as soon as it hits the ground, it's just going to get run away from them. So that happened with Adelaide far too often. And Richmond's defence has been superb all year. And that happened again. And the first half, when Adelaide were playing well and they were on top of Richmond, Richmond's defence kept the game close. And then when Richmond got on top, that was it. So, and that's why at halftime I thought Richmond were almost rolled gold certainties to win the game the way it was unfolding. So, I think Adelaide, as much as you've got to back in your own style and say, we finished on top of the ladder, we won most of our games, we made the grand final doing exactly this, so we'll try to do it again, I still think you've got to pick your side to your opposition a little bit. And if I was Adelaide, I might have dropped one of those tall players like Andy Otten and brought in, say, Wayne Miller for his pace and run just to give them a little bit more, but it wouldn't have mattered. They got belted, so one change wasn't going to make a huge difference to that.
And for the Tigers, Dash, it's been about their relentless pressure all season. There's been something different about them all year. Remarkable turnaround in 12 months, obviously, for the Tigs. But goodness me, you look at players like Jack Graham just coming onto the scene so quickly. And for want of a better word, some of the players, I guess, some might call a bunch of randoms. They've gelled together so well and done a Bulldogs in many ways, but they might just be better.
Yeah, I guess that's the question. What was better, the Bulldogs last year or Richmond this year? The Bulldogs are the first team in the modern finals system to win a premiership from outside the top four, having to win four finals in a row and two of them interstate. Or is it Richmond, who finished 13th last year? No team has ever come from 13th to win a premiership. No one's ever risen 13 positions on the ladder in the space of 12 months. Collingwood went from 12th in 1976 and then drew a grand final and lost the replay in 77. But no one's done what Richmond's been able to do. And it's amazing, 12 months ago there was a board meeting to decide whether they were going to sack Damien Hardwick or not. The board voted in his favour, I think only marginally. He kept his job. They appointed Neil Baum to come in as to sort of oversee him. And it was exactly the same, ironically, as Geelong in 2006. Geelong had a long premiership drought. They had a shocking year. They had a meeting to decide whether they were going to sack Mark Thompson. The board voted in favour of keeping him, and they appointed Neil Baum to come in as his mentor, so to speak. And then Geelong won the premiership the next year, and sure enough, Richmond won the premiership straight after as well. So yeah, the turnaround's been extraordinary. You look at players like Nathan Broad, obviously Graham that you mentioned, the small forwards, Dan Butler, Kane Lambert, Jason Castagna, and these sorts of guys that have been enormous for Richmond in the front half of the ground. So the effort of those guys, even Daniel Rioli as well, who injured his ankle late in the piece today, was were instrumental. So full credit to Damien Hardwick. I mean, he created a system that had everyone bamboozled. The pressure from Richmond was relentless. No one in the competition for basically the whole season has been able to deal with it. Richmond had two shocking games this year, and that was it. They got belted by Adelaide in round seven. St Kilda smashed them in the middle of the year when they were 88 points behind at half time. But apart from that, they probably should have won every other game they played. So yeah, credit to Hardwick and the recruiting team for what they put together. Their backline's always been good. Rance is one of the greatest of all time. Asprey has come through. Dylan Grimes, obviously Nick Vlosten, Bashar Hooley as well, who I thought was best on ground. But I think Richmond's efforts to gel together that group has been special and maybe even better than the Bulldogs in some ways.
And last but not least, Dash, you touched on it there, our very own dashing Darren Parkin here on Sports Overnight on RSN 927. It's Tiger time in a big way, a 48-point win in the decider over the Crows at the G on Saturday. But, Dusty Martin completes a perfect treble, winning the Norm Smith the flag and, of course, the Brownlow. But just on the Norm Smith medal there, and you couldn't begrudge him, obviously, and no. I thought he would be the common denominator there, although he did get full votes from Juddy, Pierce, McClure, and Niall, Daisy Pearce, of course, there. But Plough gave the three to Hawley, and while it wasn't clear-cut, you probably could have said that he would have been the rightful. I know a few people at the game, and, of course, us watching it there at yours at a grand final barbecue, Dash, thought that maybe Hawley was very stiff, and he was just edged out, though, by Dusty for the Norm Smith. But a bit of conjecture about that.
Yeah, there wasn't a clear-cut best on ground, and Dustin Martin's the fourth player in history to now have a Premiership, a Norm Smith medal and a Brownlow, going with Simon Black of Brisbane, Jimmy Bartel and Chris Judd. But he's the only player that's done it in the same year, obviously, to win the Brownlow and the Norm Smith medal. As I said, there wasn't a clear-cut best on ground. I thought Bashir Hooley was best on ground. Dustin Martin played very well, and in a lot of ways, he's probably a victim of his own standards. He had the most possessions of any Richmond player, the equal most goals and the most clearances, so it's hard to say, no, he wasn't best on ground. But yeah, I thought Hooley, when they were under pressure at the start of the game, was their most influential player. He kicked a big goal at the start, and then his run in the second half saw them or helped them overwhelm Adelaide. So I had him as best on ground. I thought Shane Edwards was also very good. I thought Rance and Vlosten would have been in the votes in the first half, but they didn't have to do anything in the second half, so that probably took that away. So I thought Terry Wallace had it right, actually. Three votes Hooley, two votes Edwards, one vote Martin. So he was the only one that didn't give Martin maximum votes, but I think he was the only one that was right. So I think both of us agreed. I think we were sitting next to each other watching the game, and we said Hooley's best on ground, but Martin will win the medal, and that's exactly what happened. So, yeah, hard to begrudge Dustin Martin. He played a very important role, but I would have voted exactly as Terry Wallace did, Hooley, Edwards and Martin, with honourable mentions to Nan Curvis for his efforts in the ruck to get back on top of Jacobs, and also probably Boston, I think, for his overall impact on the game too.
And as you mentioned, Dash, and as has been indicative of the year too, Alex France was very good for the Tigers, but of course the first time the Crows have lost a grand final, but two out of three ain't bad, but the Tigers make it their 11th flag and first since 1980, and what a way to do it. And Dash, it is very much Tiger time, and hopefully it's the Saints' turn, if not next year, soon enough. But thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, that's the next drought we need. No worries, mate, any time.
This is where you'll hear RSN across Shepparton and the Goulburn Valley on 1260 AM.